I want to start by thanking Father and thanking Father Father Joe for the privilege of being with you today. I'm Deacon Steve Stumper. I'm president of the Catholic Foundation, and it's great to be back up here in Fort Collins. I graduated from CSU way too long ago to admit, so we'll skip that, but loved my college years up here and all the time that I've been up here ever since. We heard in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles what Father mentioned at the beginning. Today's the birthday of the church, Pentecost. And the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and people from all over heard them speaking in their own tongues of the mighty acts of God. The mighty act of God would be our salvation, Jesus dying on the cross so that we could spend eternal life with God in paradise. Jesus died for our sins, and it is through grace that we are saved. So do our actions in this life, what I like to call life number one, have any bearing at all on the life to come, eternal life, which I call life number two? Well, evidently, per our second reading from St. Paul to the Galatians, we heard him highlight works of the flesh and then said, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast to the works of the flesh, then St. Paul highlighted the fruits of the Spirit, including generosity, which is the one fruit that I want to elaborate on this morning. For starters, we read in Sirach chapter 35, three keys related to the wisdom of generosity. We hear about tithing, almsgiving, and reward. First, tithing, giving away the first 10% of our gross income. Tithing was the law. Tithing was the floor to giving, not the ceiling. Tithing was expected. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we hear of God's encouragement to tithe. We read, bring the whole tithe and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. Shall I not open for you the floodgates of heaven to pour down blessing upon you without measure? And we're supposed to give the tithe with a spirit of joy per Sirach, because the 100% from which the 10% comes from is all a blessing from God. Point two, almsgiving. Almsgiving then isn't just any giving. Almsgiving is giving above and beyond the tithe, above and beyond the 10%. That's why it carries amazing promises with it, and that ties into our third point, reward. Jesus himself in Luke 11:41 said this, but as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you. That's a pretty dramatic statement. And in Sirach, we're told that when we give to God, we get returned to us sevenfold. But Jesus comes along, and in both Mark chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 19, we're told that it wasn't sevenfold, it is now 100-fold when we give to God. 100-fold. Now, Jesus warns us in the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, which concludes with these words. But God said to him, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. The rich fool was apparently 100% focused on life number one and not on life number two. My dad came to me years ago and said, hey, just want to let you know we're updating the will. Now, I'm one of four boys, and my wife, Kathy, and I also have four children. So when he said that, I said, Dad, that's great. I said, would you think about doing what Kathy and I have done? Would you treat the church like one of your children and split it five ways, giving 20% to the church? No. I said, Dad, Luke 12 tells us, give alms, provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven. Wouldn't you like to build some treasure in heaven, so to speak? Well, I don't know, but I'm not interested. I said, okay, well, would you at least pray about it? He comes back about a month later and he says, Steve, I got good news and bad news for you. I'm like, yeah, what's that? He goes, well, the good news is your mom and I prayed about that thing you suggested. We actually decided that's a good idea. We're going to do that. We're going to leave 20% of the church. The bad news? And then he put a big smile on his face and he said, it's all coming out of your share. There's the story in the Denver Catholic a few summers ago of 92-year-old Norbert Brady, who heard me tell that story, and within a month had made the church another of his children. In his case, it became his eighth. But hopefully you can tell how much I believe in what I'm preaching about this morning, because I did literally ask my dad to diminish my own inheritance. And when he had a bad fall and died 10 hours later on Divine Mercy Sunday 2019, I was so at peace and grateful for his decision to think beyond this life, knowing that our Lord's never going to be outdone in generosity. There's a saying that each day brings us closer to death, and if our treasures are here upon earth, that means each day brings us closer to losing our treasures. But if we've paid it forward and created treasure in heaven, each day moves us towards our true treasure. As we transition from life number one to life number two, St. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 are going to be relevant to each of us. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive recompense according to what he did in the body, whether good or evil. To receive recompense according to what we did, again, doesn't make it sound like we're all going to be treated identically, does it? Now is the time to make sure that we're getting prepared for judgment, that we're getting prepared to render an account of our generosity. I've heard people half jokingly, half seriously say, well, I just want to get into purgatory, as if that's an excuse for behavior. Well, based upon revelations to saints and others throughout the centuries, that's simply foolish. They say the smallest measure of suffering in purgatory is far more intense than the severest pains on earth. So we won't want to be there any longer than we absolutely have to. Now's the time for us to behave and allocate at least some of our efforts to eternal life in mind. And make one more point using two extreme examples on a holiness spectrum. At this end of the holiness spectrum is a bad person, a big sinner. We'll call him Exhibit A. And the big sinner did have the grace to ask for salvation. And of course, God's divinely merciful, and Exhibit A will be saved. But God's perfect mercy also comes with his perfect justice, which will demand that Exhibit A spend time in purgatory being purified of his sins. But even post-purgatory, does God's perfect justice allow Exhibit A to have the same heavenly experience as someone at this end of the holiness spectrum? Let's say St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And our church says no, that while Exhibit A might get to paradise with the capacity of this water bottle, and once in paradise be filled to the brim, once in paradise be filled to the brim with God's love, joy, and peace, the sorrows, sadnesses, and regrets of their sinful life will have been purified away in purgatory. But in comparison to their capacity in paradise, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton might have the capacity of your beautiful church. Now, as I said at the beginning, we are saved by God's grace alone. And I'm not here to preach the prosperity gospel where everything comes up roses in this life. But St. Faustina said that if we were to see the differences among the degrees of glory in heaven, we would willingly suffer anything on earth just to move one degree higher. St. Paul says it this way in Romans 8:18. The sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. Jesus came and died and rose and ascended into heaven, not so as for us to have a sorrowful free this life, but so that we can have that for eternal life. Eternal life is infinite. This life isn't. I'd suggest the most important thing in living this life is living in a way to maximize our eternal life experience to come. St. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:17, "It is not that I am eager for the gift. Rather, I am eager for the profit that accrues to your account." The profit that accrues to our account. Could God have incentivized our generosity any more? Even if we haven't been able to tithe or alms give yet, I'd like to invite you this morning to probably the simplest way to put something into that capacity for eternal life, and that's to leave the church in your estate plans, in your will, or as the beneficiary of an asset you own, like a life insurance policy, your IRA, or even your home. It should be the easiest gift we will ever make because we literally will have left it behind. Now, if you're thinking like my dad initially did, well, my family needs it all. Well, of course they do. But isn't God the source of all blessings? Do we trust in God? Do we really think that giving them 100% of what we have will bless them and us more than carving out something for God and leaving them the rest? Unfortunately, leaving everything to adult loved ones probably isn't going to count as charity or distinguish us from the rich fool. And don't think your gift might be too small to be meaningful. Doesn't the Lord give high praise to the poor widow in the gospel? And if he's allowed you to steward a lot, don't think we can be too generous with a God who's given us life and then gave us his life for our eternal life. He tells us via Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, do good to all, but especially to those who belong to the family of the faith. Our church needs us, and someday our current support of our parish will no longer be possible. Wouldn't it be nice to leave a legacy gift after we're gone? If you want to do that, then join other parishioners that have done this and leave the church via the Catholic Foundation. We were created over 25 years ago and exist independently from the parishes, from the archdiocese, from everyone in order to safeguard your assets and ensure that what you want done with your gift is done. Think of us as a bank or a trust company with accounts for each individual organization that the people that work with us want to support. So please, on this Feast of Pentecost, take one of the brochures that you'll find in the pew around you. Take it home and pray with God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us to all truth we heard in the gospel. Have that Holy Spirit help us determine how we're supposed to steward the gifts God's entrusted to us. Please call us at the Catholic Foundation anytime to take advantage of our assistance with smart ways to give to help minimize taxes, including charitable gift annuities, donor advised funds. We are St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's free back office support team for complicated gifts and planned giving, and we would love to partner with you in your giving for the kingdom of God. Come back and join us on Thursday, June 6th for a panel discussion with somebody to talk about cemetery planning, a medical doctor to talk about end-of-life medical directives in a Catholic way, wills versus trust, etc. It'll be a very informative evening on June 6th. To wrap up, I've known some people driven to great success in this world, but not focused on the one to come. As the Denver Nuggets pursue another title, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 9:25. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do so to win a perishable crown, but we, an imperishable one. Would you rather win something for this life or something for eternal life? St. John of God said, give alms, my brethren, give alms for the love of yourselves. Let us assist you with your estate plan so that when we die, we can be excited to receive recompense according to what we did in the body. And then may we receive that ultimate gift, that imperishable crown, and look forward to hearing these words from Jesus himself at the end of our life from Matthew chapter 25. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God bless you.